It is so helpful before opening up the Word of God to be able to spend, even if it's a brief moment measured in seconds, maybe not even minutes, but at least to be able to just to be still and set our minds upon our great God. And I appreciate the prayer. The prayers when we are able to do that, just to dwell before our God in prayer before we come to His Word. And so we come to His Word now, Matthew chapter 6. I want to read verses 9 through 13, which we call the model prayer. It is the instruction that our Savior gave to His disciples, to us who are His disciples. As he, in Luke's account, he was answering the question, teach us to pray. So we know a similar form is found there. So we know that's what's going on, that our Savior is guiding us in how we should approach God in prayer. And he says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be Your name, Your kingdom come, Your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from evil, or the evil one. For Yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. What a prayer. These final petitions that we are going to begin to look at today from verse 11 through verse 13, of course, necessarily follow the petitions that we've already seen, the three petitions that we have already looked at. And as I've tried to emphasize to you, only as our prayer is oriented toward, and maybe I should say only as our hearts are oriented toward God in prayer, God as our Father, distinguishing God in our hearts as our Father, distinguishing who He is, and then bringing our hearts into a place of submission or surrender to Him, so that we do say, Your kingdom, not mine. It's not my agenda. I don't come to you with my agenda. Your kingdom come. Your kingdom is what we desire. Not just the words about the kingdom, but Your kingdom, Your reign, Your power come. So we have our focus where it ought to be, and connected with that, Your will, not mine, not mine. I come submitting to You, acquiescing to You, whether you think of His will as His decretive will or His revealed will, that will which I think is the primary thought there. As in heaven, so on earth. That's what I long for. That's what we long for. We desire. And it's when we have come before Him with that preparedness, with that kind of spirit, that we are then ready to make personal petitions known to Him in prayer. And these final petitions are imperatives, just as the first three were. They are imperatives. They are in a tense, a verb tense that has urgency about them. And it is, do this. These aren't wishful expressions. When Jesus says, pray like this, give us this day our daily bread, this isn't just a wishful thought. It's an expectant petition, just like all of them are. An expectant petition that's prayed in full confidence in the one to whom we are praying, as we'll remind you again this morning. He is not a far-off deity who doesn't care. He's our Father who knows our needs before we even ask, and He cares for you. Do you believe that? I mean, do you really believe that? If you're anything like me, you still live in the flesh. And it's amazing how the flesh wants to call that into question. And I'll guarantee you, you have an enemy just like I do who wants to disturb and destroy you, who will call that very truth into question. Does he really care? And Satan will use every means possible, whether it be second or third cause or whether he come directly. I'm not so arrogant as to think that Satan spends much time on me. He's got bigger fish to fry than me. But his influence is all in this world. And so in that sense, we could say the devil's always not far from us, trying to disturb us and distract us and even destroy us. And so faith. And that's his target. It's his target to stir up unbelief. And so faith must lead us in prayer, must be an active part of our praying. Faith, as we receive from our Father's hand everything that He intends for us. What an incredibly encouraging and comforting petition we have before us today here. Give us this day our daily bread. And you'll notice that these final petitions in 11, 12, and 13, verses 11 and 12 and 13, are uniquely, particularly focused upon us. Us, us, us. That's repeated. In relationship to our day-by-day life in this present world. Now, I think they do have some bearing on the world which is to come, just like the first three did. But in particular, these petitions are being prayed in the context of our day-to-day living. Give us this day our daily bread. In that succinct petition, every and all our needs are included. Whatever they may be, physical, spiritual, body, soul, everything, I believe, is encompassed in that expression, give us this day our daily bread. And may the Lord teach us by His Spirit and this Word today that we might enter into the spirit of this prayer when we pray. Not just today, but every single day of our lives. Give us this day our daily bread. What is meant by bread? I start here because most of the men that I read after did not emphasize something that I think must be emphasized in this petition. Most of those that I read after emphasized what does need to be emphasized here, and that is that bread is referencing that which sustains our physical body. In other words, give us this day our daily bread, that which we physically need to live. And really, that's quite remarkable. After this, the first three expressions that has led our minds and our hearts to the adoration of who our Father is and to put ourselves before Him, the first thing Jesus says to pray for is something physical. Your sustenance, your physical bodily sustenance in this world. Bread in ancient time was comparable to, at least as I thought about it, to what we call meat and potatoes. In other words, it was the potato part of the meat and potatoes. Bread is kind of like what we call meat and potatoes, they would call meat and bread, or bread and meat. And you remember that when Jesus fed the 5,000, there was bread and meat. And so that was a combination meal. That's what sustained them. But bread was a sustaining factor. It was a substantive staple of life. It wasn't the lightweight, processed, nutritionless bread of our day. And I'm not preaching a nutrition message here, but I can guarantee you that a lot of the bread you buy, can I just park it here for just a second? 29 cents ain't going to get you much nutritionally. 57 cents probably won't. In fact, I pay $4.99 for mine. But that's beside the point. You're gonna have to pay a little bit to get bread that has some substance to it in the day in which we live. But back then, bread was made of substance. And so that bread and water could sustain you. Even nutritionally, there was substance in it. You could live in relative health. Not that you didn't need more, like protein and so forth, although they say the bread that I get is actually has some anyway, won't go into all that. But, you know, bread, the idea here is that bread is that which sustains us physically. Our Father cares for our physical needs. He knows that we've got to eat to live. He proved this in the garden, didn't he? When he said to Adam, I want to restrict you to a real narrow diet, one tree. No, he said, every tree. You can eat of it. Just don't eat of one. Hey, no, there's other spiritual truths that we like to race to, but let's not overlook the physical provision that God gave in the beginning. He didn't give Adam and Eve or humanity mud pies to eat. He gave us rich variety. He cares about our physical being. He proved this with Israel, didn't he? Providing them with sweet bread, manna. For 40 years, he fed them in the wilderness in a miraculous way. Exodus 16:35, which we read. And the children of Israel ate manna 40 years until they came to an inhabited land. They ate manna until they came to the border of the land of Canaan. And then did things get worse? When they came into Canaan, did things get worse physically for Israel when they no longer had manna? No. Joshua 5 and verse 12. Then the manna ceased on the day after they had eaten the produce of the land. And the children of Israel no longer had manna, but they ate the food of the land of Canaan that year, which you remember with milk and honey and big old whopping grapes, right? A land that produced plentifully. I know, again, we race to the spiritual realities and we leap up into heaven with our thoughts, but we're living right here, right now. And God cares for us. He provides for us. He intends for us to eat, to be sustained. And so while we understand from the law of Moses that God placed food restrictions on Israel while they were under that administration, under that old covenant, that was not a moral matter. And that does not apply to us today. In fact, He has given, you know, He's lifted those restrictions in the new covenant. And you know that He has given us all things richly to enjoy. Right? Bread, then, includes all that is necessary to sustain us physically in this life. Having, therefore, food and raiment, let us be content. So it's not just bread. This is representative of whatever is necessary to sustain you in life. And so the point here is that the body is not irrelevant to God. In fact, our redemption in Jesus Christ includes our bodies. It just so happens this morning that my New Testament reading was 1 Corinthians chapter 6. And you know, if you know 1 Corinthians 6, you know there's a lot in there said about the body. And just as our Savior's body was raised from the dead, so will ours be. And so, as Paul concluded 1 Corinthians 6, we are to glorify God now in our bodies and in our spirits, he said. But in our bodies? Now, if you were to read, at least the men that I read after, the commentators and sermons, that's what would be developed. In fact, John MacArthur has two messages on verse 11, and it's all about that. Both messages about the plenty and the physical and blessings of, and that's what it's about. And I don't question for a moment that that's a major point that our Lord is making when he says our petition should be give us this day our daily bread. We're going to unpack that a little bit more here in a moment. But I'm asking the question, what are we to think about when we think of bread? Give us this day our daily bread. Are we only to think about our physical sustenance? I don't think so. Bread is also representative of that which sustains one's soul. I do not believe that Jesus wants us to think only of physical provision in this petition. You know, if you die a healthy old man or old woman, you still die, don't you? And then what? So if all that's provided for you is the sustaining of your body, you're in trouble. I think the way I think about what I'm saying here and what I will emphasize, because Jesus' own reference to what manna represented, the very physical provision that God gave to Israel in the Old Testament, was, at least in part, it was to test them, it was to prove them, and their will they be obedient? Will they trust? Will they depend upon the Lord God? But it was also to say something further about their need. It wasn't just physical. And so Jesus refers to that in John chapter 6. And you know this, but let me read it to you. John chapter 6 and verse 32. After he had fed the 5,000. And why did he feed them? Why did he feed the 5,000? Just don't go deep with that. Don't go deep with your answer. Why did he feed them? Because they were hungry, right? He didn't want to see them go away hungry. He fed them because they were hungry. But then he made a point to them because they came back to him. And he says, you're missing a deeper point here about who I am. Jesus said to them in verse 32, most assuredly, I say to you, Moses did not give you the bread from heaven, but my Father gives you the true bread from heaven. For the bread of God is he who comes down from heaven and gives life to the world. Then they said to him, Lord, give us this bread always. And Jesus said to them, I am the bread of life. He who comes to me shall never hunger, and he who believes in me shall never thirst. Verse 41, the Jews then complained about him because he said, I am the bread which came down from heaven. Verse 48, I am the bread of life. Your fathers ate the manna in the wilderness and are dead. This is the bread which comes down from heaven that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread which came down from heaven. If anyone eats of this bread, he will live forever. And the bread that I shall give is my flesh, which I shall give for the life of the world. Verse 57, as the living Father sent me, and I live because of the Father, so he who feeds on me will live because of me. This is the bread which came down from heaven, not as your fathers ate the manna and are dead. He who eats this bread will live forever. You remember that Jesus quoted Deuteronomy 8 in verse 3 when he was in the wilderness temptation. Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. So surely bread in this petition includes more than, not less than real physical bread or sustaining of you physically, but certainly far more than that. It includes the spiritual provision of God in Jesus Christ Himself. our needs that are related to eternal life are supplied by eating bread from heaven. And who is that bread from heaven? Who is that manna from heaven? It is Jesus Christ Himself. And so as we pray, give us this day our daily bread, we are praying for the physical bread, but we are also praying for that spiritual bread that includes all that God provides in His Son by His Spirit and through His Word to daily nourish and sustain our souls in this present evil age. Now, this is the way you need to be thinking every single day of your life. Two things I want to point out about this prayer. And it is this. First, this petition is a petition of dependence. Okay? This is kind of difficult in the context in which we find our lives, particularly in this 21st century and in glutted America. Give us, and especially on the physical side of things, give us this day our daily bread. When you pray this petition, you are acknowledging God as the gracious giver. Give us. But see, that's a problem for us, isn't it? Because our freezers are, if your freezer works, our freezers, mine broke down recently, that's why I say that, but if you've got a freezer, it's loaded. How many days could most of you go, maybe weeks could most of you go, without ever visiting the store? Now, you might not have everything you would like, but you could go for a long time with the stockpile that you have already on hand. Or your bank account. Most of you probably have built up some savings so that you are not thinking on a daily basis, I need you to provide. There isn't an immediate urgency in this petition for most of us in relationship to our food and our clothing and or even paying our bills. So what are you saying then when you say, give us this day our daily bread? Does that even mean anything to you and me? It does if we understand as we ought to that He is our provider and He is our sustainer. You know, this is one of the reasons why we bow our heads before our meals. There are those who I've read about who bowed their heads before an unregenerate person and the unregenerate person questioned them, what are you doing? And he says, well, I'm giving thanks to my Father for what I'm about to partake of. He says, why do you do that? Because He is the one who has granted this blessing to me that I'm about to partake of. Well, I don't believe that. I don't need that. And he says, and the person responding said, yes, I've got a dog at home just like you. Or maybe pigs. Or maybe any animal. You get the point, don't you? No, we have minds and hearts and we know. And out there on the street yesterday, that's one of the things that I was bellowing out through the amplifiers. How many of you today have even once thanked God for anything? But the problem is we as believers often catch ourselves going through a day without uttering thank you one time to the one that we say provides and sustains. Give us this day our daily bread is an expression of our hearts to our God and Father. You see, there is always the danger of forgetting our Father's part in providing for us, isn't there? You know, one way that He helps us is by creating a problem for us. Yanking that, you know, losing that job or having a want or a need in your life. And it reminds you, wait a minute, I've been presumptuous. And you see, God knows that about us. And so He addressed Israel with that. And you say, well, we're different from them. Well, the reality is we're not different from them. We're made of the same flesh. And you may have the Spirit of Christ in you, but you still have the flesh. Give us this day our daily bread is still necessary for you, lest you become like those who forget God. Beware. I'm reading from Deuteronomy chapter 8. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping His commandments, His judgments, and His statutes, which I command you today, lest when you have eaten and are full and have built beautiful houses and dwell in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply, your silver and your gold are multiplied, and all that you have is multiplied, when your heart is lifted up, and you forget the Lord your God, who brought you out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage, who led you through the great and terrible wilderness in which you were in which were fiery serpents and scorpions and thirsty land where there was no water, who brought water for you out of the flinty rock, who fed you in the wilderness with manna, which your fathers did not know, that He might humble you and that He might test you to do you good in the end. Then you say in your heart, my power and the might of my hand have gained me this wealth. Many of us who are older can say this, but in my younger years, I did live more hand to mouth. I did have to be more careful. I did have to think about spending that dollar. Now, I don't think so much about it. I can spend. There's freedom. There's liberty that I have. I'm not bound up with debt, for one thing. And God has given me plenty. And there is the temptation then to just sort of coast and forget the one who's provided and the one who still sustains. Jesus says, pray. Pray. Give us this day our daily bread. You remember the one in Proverbs chapter 30, verses 8 and 9, the petition that he had. He says, don't give me too little, don't give me too much. You remember that? And you know why he said that? Lest I profane the name of my God. Isn't that exactly what Jesus is dealing with here? Hallowed be thy name. And may it not happen in any of our lives where we get to the point where we profane the name of our God by forgetting Him in regards to the physical, temporal needs. So this petition is a daily reminder of our dependence on our Father who has provided and will provide for our physical needs. As a believer, though, you have received the Holy Spirit and you've received all things that pertain to life and godliness. And you know, even though you've received all of those things, you know from whom you have received it. And you know that apart from Him, you can do nothing. And so this is also a continual reminder to you of your dependence upon God spiritually to sustain you in your life as a follower of Jesus Christ. So that each day is a new day of dependence upon Him to keep you through faith. Each day is a new day of dependence upon Him to give you what you need to stand against the wiles of the devil. Perhaps we are more in tune to this because this is where most of us struggle more than we do the temporal side. We struggle with the spiritual side. You daily need to be asking your Father in heaven, give us this day our daily bread, spiritually sustaining you, daily putting on the whole armor of God. Well, let me just ask you, it's almost noon. Have you yet today put on the whole armor of God? Maybe I should ask you, can you put on the whole armor of God? Only a born-again person can. Have you? Did you think that you could live this day and just by osmosis you would be successful in your walk against the enemy today? Do you know that you need the whole armor of God every single day? You need Him to give you what you need every single day to fight successfully? Did you know that? You do know that. I know you know that. If we were having a little personal conversation here, you would say, yeah, I know that. Why haven't you put on the whole armor of God yet today? You're going to wait till the enemy comes before you put the armor on? That's a bit too late. I wouldn't wait. But when you see the dust flying, the enemy coming, go ahead and put it on if you've forgotten. Put on the whole armor of God. And what does that mean? Put on Christ. Draw near to Him. Remind yourself of who He is and what He has done and all that your Father has for you in His Son. Each day, it's a prayer of dependence upon His promise. He says, I'll be with you. I'll not forsake you. And so you pray in light of that promise, be with me, don't forsake me. You see, we pray in keeping with His promise to us. Give us this day our daily bread. Now this petition, give us this day our daily bread, doesn't rule out our work or our effort in the process of provision physically or spiritually. Don't think that you can just pray, give us this day our daily bread, and then just sit and wait. You know that's not in line with the thoughts of our Savior as He leads us to pray this prayer, nor in line with the thoughts of our Father. He taught us that with the nation of Israel. The nation of Israel, though God rained down manna, they had to go pick it up every day, didn't they? Except for the sixth day where they got enough for two. But they had to do something. And they couldn't stock up for tomorrow. Remember what happened when they stocked up for tomorrow? It stank. The worms came and it stank. Teaching us that every single day we need to live with this dependence as we go about doing what God has called us to do. Yes, it is our Father who energizes the plants for harvest, but who's got to... Does that hay collect itself out there in the field, Gabino? Now, you don't have much to do with growing it. You water, you fertilize it, whatever, but I mean, you got to wait. But once it's grown, what do you got to do? You got to harvest it. And you know, I remember, maybe you've seen the movie Shenandoah, Jimmy Stewart sitting at the table, and he's in honor of his wife. His wife was a religious woman, and he wasn't a religious man in the family story there of Shenandoah. And he's at the table and says, all right, you know, and they all, you know, six kids around the table, and they bow their heads, and his prayer is something like this, you know, even though we were the ones that gathered it, we were the ones that prepared it, we were the ones that cooked it, nevertheless, all the same, we thank you. That was his prayer at the table. Okay. Totally ignoring the fact who gave him the energy to do anything that he did. And that's often the times the way we think, I don't need God. Next week, Lord willing, Stephen Skipper is going to be in the service here. And that was his testimony before he went into prison. He would say, I didn't need God. I worked 15 hours a day. I earned my own way. Christians were weak. They need God. I don't need Him. In fact, he denied the existence of God until God took his everything out from under him and showed him how much he did need Him and does need Him. And aren't you thankful if God has done that to you? Awakened you to see your need? No. The point I'm making here, though, is that we don't just sit idly by. Our Father gives us faith, for example. Thinking of the spiritual side of this provision. But who is it that believes? Does God believe for you? Does God believe for anybody in this room here? Sometimes we talk of these things as if we have no part in anything. And that's just not true. God gives the faith, but we are the ones that exercise that faith. He gives grace, but we must live. He gives grace, but we must obey. It's He that is working in you both to will and to do of His good pleasure. He gives and we receive. We are dependent. And therefore we pray and we receive as He gives to us. So this is a petition of dependence, and it is a petition of confidence. That's the second thing. A petition of dependence, a petition of confidence. Because of the one to whom you are praying, you can rest in the face of constant threats against the provision of your needs. Christian, are you hearing me? Does give us this day, our daily bread, have substantial meaning to your soul? It does if you are mindful of the one to whom you are praying. He is Jehovah Sabaoth. He is the Lord of hosts, the one who is sovereign over all things. He is Jehovah Jireh. Or someone texted me this week from this congregation who's listening to these things. He said, Yahweh Jireh, which is another way of saying it. And I love that. I love to hear the response of the saints who are hearing and are connecting with who our Father is. And during the week you are saying, I see it. I see Him. He is my provider. He's doing that. He is El Shaddai. He's able. He's the Almighty God. He is El Elyon. He is the Most High God. Brothers and sisters, let me encourage you here. There is no threat in the created realm that will keep our Father from providing for His own. Do you hear that? And I know you hear that. The question is faith reaching out and laying hold of Him? There is no threat in the created realm. This is so important because we're living in a world of threat, aren't we? It's everywhere. By the way, it's always been. It's just that we have gadgets that alert us. I mean, some of y'all are even, you know, you live through your day. You ever see people doing this? You know what they're doing? They're looking at the threats. They got these watches that actually have the internet on them. And, you know, and if you're married to one like that, you can't even hold their hand without feeling the buzz. You know? Brothers and sisters, we're glutted. And frankly, I think we've got too much of it. And I think we need to dial it back a little bit. Anyway, that's a rabbit trail there, isn't it? Or a rabbit. I'm on the rabbit's trail. But here's the point here. Whether the threat is real life experience, and there are real life experience threats, or it is news media hysteria, which we are loaded with in this day and age in which we live. I mean, 2 people out of 7-8 billion people can get a virus and the whole world is supposed to panic. I don't get it. I don't understand it. It makes no sense to me. It makes no logical sense to me that I need to panic because somebody in another continent and only 2 or 3 of them get this thing. Oh, no. You know, listen, if you read the news of what goes on in San Antonio, were there any crimes committed last night in San Antonio or yesterday in San Antonio? If you read the news, I don't know why anybody would ever drive down anywhere into San Antonio. That's a greater threat to you than something on the other side of the world, right? Hysteria. We live in it. What I am saying to you, and this is the beauty of this petition, give us this day our daily bread. Whether, regardless of the source of the hysteria or the fear, you can rest assured that nothing will separate you from God's loving care. He's your Father. Whether it's sickness or the threat of it, disease or the threat of it, financial crisis or the threat of it, job insecurity, global warming, call it whatever you want. I am telling you, listen, don't get me wrong. You heard what I said a moment ago. This isn't saying that we don't have responsibility. God doesn't put responsibility on us to engage wisely, thoughtfully with this. I'm just saying you don't be controlled by fear. Because you can pray with confidence. Give us this day our daily bread. Jehovah Ra'ah, our shepherd, is committed to caring for us. He's your Father. And so you should pray this petition each day with expectation in the face of every need. It's amazing, this morning I was praying this in reference to this day. And I kid you not, as soon as I uttered that prayer, there was a, call it a fiery dart, call it whatever you want, that hit me like, yeah, but what? What about? It's almost like knocked the confidence out of me. It can happen to you. We need to pray in faith. Psalm 34:10, the young lions do lack and suffer hunger, but they that seek the Lord shall not want any good thing. Is that true? Is that still true? Any good thing? And of course, our all-wise God is the one who determines what good things are, but you'll not lack it. Psalm 37:25, I have been young and now am old, Yet have I not seen the righteous forsaken, nor his seed begging bread. Somebody reminded me that, I think maybe it was you, Mike, last week at Thanksgiving, that I can look at my children, even the unregenerate children, and see that none of them are begging bread. That's the seed of the righteous. That's my offspring. They're not begging bread. And I appreciated that encouragement. He will sustain your every physical and spiritual need. How will he do so? Well, I don't know exactly the details of how he will do it, but I know the source, according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. Philippians chapter 4. That's true. Hey, listen. He who did not spare his own son, will he not with him also freely give us all things? Give us, this is the one that we're praying to. Give us this day our daily bread. And brethren, we should pray this petition with a sense of urgency. But not because we're anxious. Because we're confident. We're confident in the provider. Even though we don't know how or what, we don't have all the answers to everything, but we know him. And you need him. That's why you pray. You say, well, he already knows my needs. Jesus said that already. He knows them before you ask. So why pray? Why pray? You pray because you need him. He's the provider. And so you pray, not with anxiety, but with confidence and with urgency. Here's a quote by a man named Charles Quarles. He's one of the commentaries I use in my study for these messages. He said this, anxiety wrings its hands. Faith folds its hands. Anxiety paces the floor. Faith kneels on the floor. Prayer is an exercise of faith, not a display of anxiety. Isn't that good? This petition, give us this day our daily bread, is for every single believer, every single day. God has not promised to provide for next year. He has not promised to provide for next week. He has not even promised to provide for tomorrow. And I hope you understand what I mean when I say it that way. What he has promised is this day. This day, our daily bread, our sufficient bread, our necessary bread. And most of us would have to agree it's far more than that. It's far more than just so that we can limp along through life. And that's true spiritually as well. I'm afraid there are far too many Christians that are limping along spiritually. And there's no need for it. And listen, as I say that, I had to confess. And I was confessing just because, like the psalmist said, remember not the sins of my youth. I was recalling my distrust in my father years past. And I just had to express that to him in a fresh way this morning. It hurts me. It pains me to think that I did not trust you. I have gone through seasons needlessly. And I think there are Christians today who go through seasons needlessly, in the sense that if we would just learn, he's going to give me everything that I need every single day. And I don't have to think about tomorrow. We're going to get to that in later on in chapter 6. When tomorrow comes, he's going to give me what I need for that. And then the next day comes and so on and so forth. Boy, it's hard to live like that. This petition helps us. Give us this day. Or as Luke says, day by day, our daily bread. D.L. Moody said this, God never gives his strength in advance. So let's stop crossing bridges before we come to them. The Heavenly Father will graciously supply our every need one day at a time. Don't try to borrow tomorrow's burdens with today's grace. As we pray this petition, as Jesus intends for us to pray it, we are setting our minds upon the provider, not the provision. Think about that. It's not just a rote, give us this day our daily bread, so you say you prayed it. No, it's give us. You are looking to the provider so that your attention, you're not weighed down by all the provision that could load you, the needs that could load you down. You're putting your mind upon the one who owns it all and who will provide as he has promised. It's not the bread, but the Word of God who promises to provide. Give us this day our daily bread, bread giver. So what are the benefits to us as we pray this petition to our Father? I've got four and we're done. And I'm not going to elaborate here, so don't get, man, I see, you know, four, and we're done. All right, so it's real quick. But this, maybe you've seen this already. Maybe you connect with this already. Four provisions that I've written down here. The first is this. To me, it's the most important. We draw near to our Father who cares for us. That to me is the number one thing. He is pleased with our dependence and we are comforted in our nearness to Him. And I don't know if you've experienced that, but I know I have. When I come to Him with this petition as well as the others, but give us this day our daily bread. When I truly come to Him with that, it's like a physical relief that comes over me. Literally. And there is that nearness to Him that you sense. Because you know what? He promised those who draw near to Him, He would draw near. What James says, right? Draw near to God and He will draw near to you. Secondly, our spirits are freed from anxiety. We'll say more about that when we get into chapter, later on into this chapter, verse 33, 34, that section. But the what if assaults upon our minds are dismissed. The what if assaults on our minds are dismissed by this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. What if? Give us this day our daily bread. I don't have to be anxious about that. This day. Well, yeah, but what about tomorrow? Tomorrow. This day. We're liberated to obey God today as we trust Him to provide today. So we're freed from anxiety. Real simple. This petition frees us from anxiety. We're praying it as Jesus intended for us to pray it. Thirdly, we are freed from a covetous spirit. Right? See, there's an inward calm of contentment. I'm satisfied with what He's given. I don't have to have more. I don't have to buy into this American idea that I've got to have the latest, greatest of whatever. I'm not driven by that. I'm satisfied. Satisfied with what He... Why wouldn't I be satisfied with what He gives if I really know Him? He's my Father. Right? And He knows what I have need of. I can rest there. I can be content there if I know Him and believe that He will give me what I need. So I'm freed from that covetous spirit. I don't have to be tempted by that credit card offer that comes. You know, you can spend $25,000 and 0% interest for 18 months. Woo! Really? I can throw that in the trash. Why does that tempt us? Why does it tempt? It does tempt. I mean, I have to admit, it doesn't tempt me now. But when I was some of your ages, see, I need to remember that I'm 62 and some of you are 20-something or 30-something. And you wrestle with things that I wrestled with when I was your age. I'm not looking down on you. I'm not trying to mock you when I say these things. These are real battles we face in this world, in this flesh. But I'm telling you, if you pray this prayer with the spirit that Christ intended, it's going to free you from that covetous spirit that drives so much of our purchasing in this day in which we live. And then finally, praying this prayer, this petition, give us this day our daily bread. You are able in your spirit to rejoice and give thanks as He gives. I'm telling you, this may be as important or more important than the first one. You know, that communion you have with your Father. But just glorifying Him, and it all kind of goes together, doesn't it? Our Father is glorified. And isn't that the desire of His children? Don't you want your Father in heaven to be glorified? And so you say, thank you. Thank you. So if somebody says, why are you giving thanks before you eat? Oh, you don't know my Father. If you knew my Father, you wouldn't be asking that. Right? And sometimes we Christians can stumble at that point. We need some help. So may the Lord bless you as you process these thoughts related to this petition. Give us this day our daily bread. Father, I pray that your Spirit would